Have you found someone else?
No.
At least we know we can bully them with money. The port still hadn't recovered from the riot when they made their way down to Harbour 7 first thing the next morning. Huge piles of ashes, which used to be buildings, were still radiating heat from their smouldering cores, giving off thin streamers of acrid smoke. Long runnels of mushed ashes meandered away from their bases, sluiced out by the rain. They had coagulated under the morning sunlight, looking like damp lava flows. Gangs of workers were raking through the piles with long mayop poles, searching for anything salvageable. They passed one ruined transient's warehouse where a stack of cargo pods had been pulled from the gutted remains, the warped composite resembling surrealistic sculptures. Darcy watched a forlorn family prize open a badly contorted marsupium shell with deep scorch marks on the oyster-coloured casing. The infant quadruped had been roasted in its chemical sleep, reduced to a shriveled black mummy. Darcy couldn't even tell what species it was. Laurie had to turn away from the empty-faced colonists scrabbling at the pod's distorted lids, shiny new ship suits smeared with dirt and sweat. They had come to Lalonde with such high hopes, and now they were faced with utter ruin before they'd even been given a chance at life. "This is awful," she said. "This is dangerous," Darcy replied. "They're numbed and shocked now, but that will soon give way to anger. Without their farmsteading gear they can't be sent up river, and Rexu will be hard pushed to replace it." "It wasn't all burnt," she said sorrowfully. The afternoon and evening of the riot there had been a steady stream of people walking past the ward molecular warehouse, carrying pods and cartons of equipment they had looted. They walked around Harbour 7 until they came to the quay where the Coogan was moored. The aging tramp trader was in a dilapidated state, with holes in its cabin roof and a long gash in the wood up at the prow where it had struck some snag. Len Buchanan had only just managed to get out of the harbour ahead of the rioters, flinging planks from the cabin walls into the furnace hopper in his desperation. Gail Buchanan was sitting in her usual place outside the galley doorway, coolie hat shading her sweating face, a kitchen knife almost engulfed by her huge hand. She was chopping some long vegetable root, slices falling into a pewter-coloured pan at her feet. Her eyes fastened shrewdly on Darcy and Laurie as they stepped onto the decking.
"You again. Len! Len, get yourself out here. We've got visitors. Now, Len!"
Darcy waited impassively. They had used the Buchanans as an information source in the past, occasionally asking them to pick up flecks from assets upriver. But they had proved so unreliable and cranky, Darcy hadn't bothered with them for the last 20 months. Len Buchanan walked forward from the little engine room where he'd been patching the cabin walls. He was wearing jeans and his cap, a carpenter's suede utility belt hanging loosely round his skinny hips, with only a few tools in its hoops. Darcy thought he looked hungover, which fitted the talk he'd heard around the port. The Coogan had hit hard times of late.
"Have you got a cargo to take upriver?" Darcy asked.
"No,"
Len said sullenly.
"It's been a difficult season for us," Gale said.
"Things aren't like they used to be. Nobody shows any loyalty these days. Why, if it wasn't for us virtually giving our goods away, half of the settlements upriver would have starved to death. But do they show any gratitude? Ha!"
"Is the Coogan fit to be taken out?" Darcy asked, cutting through the woman's screed. "Now, today."
Len pulled his cap off and scratched his head.
"Suppose so. Engines are okay. I always service them regular."
"Of course, it's in tip-top shape," Gale told them loudly. "There's nothing wrong with a Coogan's hull. It's only because this drunken buffoon spends all his time pining away over that little bitch brat that the cabin's in the state it is."
Len sighed irksomely and leant against the galley doorframe.
"Don't start," he said.
"I knew she was in trouble," Gale said. "I told you not to let her on board. I warned you. After all we did for her."
"Shut up."
She glared at him and resumed slicing up the cream-white vegetable.
"What do you want the Coogan for?"
Len asked.
"We have to get upriver today," Darcy said. "There's no cargo, only us."
Len made a play of putting his cap back on.
"There's trouble upriver.
I know. That's where we want to go, the Qualheim counties.
No, Len Buchanan said.
Sorry, anywhere else in the tributary basin, but not there.
That's where she came from, Gale hissed venomously. That's what you're afraid of.